Hey there. Welcome to the North Shore Church Podcast. We are delighted that you've decided to take this step of faith and join us for the next few moments together as we explore one of the messages from our Sunday morning gatherings or special event given to you by one of our pastors or special guests. We trust that you can connect with us through the show notes or through our website, thenorthshore.church.
Well, here we are, the last message of our fall series, preparing today for tomorrow's promises. And we kind of tail off the season with our breaking barriers slide. You can go to the next one there, Chad. That'd be fantastic. But we have the code there if you want to get the handout and all that. But we are here in our last message, and we've been talking about preparing today for tomorrow's promises so that God can do what God wants to do in your life, in your family, our church, and in our communities here on the North Shore. And so we believe that God's got some big plans that he wants to unleash across this area, across this land, and he's called us to be his hands and his feet. He's given us the power of his spirit to do so. And so we know that when we walk in God's promises, sometimes there's barriers. And so the last 2 weeks, and then today, we want to talk about some of those barriers that exist that we want the Spirit to help us overcome so that we can move forward in the promises that God has laid out for us. And so we've been talking about enlarging the tent, strengthening the stakes, making room for what God wants to do. And so I hope that you've been doing some things in your life this last fall season to make room for God to do something new in your life, or to do something fresh, or to renew maybe your hope, maybe renew your faith, maybe reestablish some things or some patterns in your life. And I would love to hear those stories. And so say, Gary, I'd love to take you out for coffee. I'll buy and tell you my story. And if you don't want to do that, I will take you for coffee, and we will run away before we have to pay, and it'll be great. Teasing, of course. But I'd love to hear the stories and some of the testimonies, as we call them, or just some of the things that you have felt God speaking to you so that you may be able to share and walk in the things that God has called you to walk in. And so what happens, and the reason I say you need to write it down, you need to tell somebody, it doesn't have to be me, you can take out my wife. People like her better than me anyway. And so spend some time with her and just begin to share some of the things that God has said to you about making room for him in your life. Because what happens is, we think these things, God speaks to us, they're wonderful, amazing things. Sometimes they're big dreams, sometimes they're impossible dreams. Sometimes we think, oh Lord, unless it's you, it can't happen. Sometimes it's little things, it's a small change. And we go, this is a great moment. I've heard from God, I've heard from the Spirit of God, this is amazing. And what happens is the enemy comes and he begins to sow seeds of doubt, and he begins to deceive us and say things like, well, are you sure that's what God meant when he said that? Are you sure that was even God speaking at all? How do you know? And these things come to mind. And then soon enough, we begin to doubt what we think we heard. And without being too far along off the notes this morning, when we speak it out loud, it creates a testimony, which means it's your word, it's truth. Because God has spoken it to you, and you speak it out loud, and then you share it with somebody else, it creates accountability with what God has said. Not only does it create accountability, but now you have someone else on your team to encourage you and share the truth with you, and to share the dreams that God has placed over your life, or the renewal of your faith in your life. He's placed someone to encourage you on the faith journey. And so today we just believe that God's got some big dreams that he's placed into your heart and into ours as a church. And we want to hear them and move forward in that. And so set aside a time, write it down, and let's chat about that. Now, when we talk about breaking barriers, we talk about walls coming down. Last week we talked about Joshua chapter, remember the chapter number where the walls come down in Jericho? Is chapter 3, 4, 4, 5, 6. 6, sounds like it is. 6, 7, I'm not too sure. Today we're going to, 7 to 9 is where we're heading from. I'm not going to read all of Joshua chapter 7, 8, and 9, but I would encourage you, if you have some time today, to do that. Spend some time, read through the couple chapters of Joshua there. But when I think about breaking down walls, I often think of renovations, and thinking of Vanessa and PJ, they're doing some renovations at their house. They're going to rip up some carpet and flooring and all this and that. But when walls need to come down, there's some barriers to renovations. Sometimes you take down a wall, or you lift up a carpet, or you look behind somewhere and you realize it's not as good as you thought it was or hoped it would be, or there's problems, unexpected changes. If you ever watch HGTV and these home renovation shows, how boring would it be to watch the show to go, hey, we moved the wall, nothing happened, and we put up a new wall and we painted it and now it looks prettier. That would be the most boring show ever. And no, home renovations, there's always something unexpected that shows up, some challenge that appears. And what happens, we can choose to ignore those challenges. We can just sort of cover it back up, not pay attention to it, and just pretend it's not there. But if it's mold, it gets worse, in case you don't know that. It gets unhealthy for you in your home, and if you just ignore it. And sometimes it's, okay, I can't deal with it right now, but I'm going to make a plan to deal with it. That's fine. But we can choose to ignore it, or we can choose to deal with it. Understanding if we don't do it now, it can get worse over time. So right here, right now, you have the chance to make a difference. Because what the enemy does, right, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's going to share a little lie with you. He's going to deceive you a little bit. Did God really say that to you? Did the Spirit of God really mean what he said when he said that? Are you sure? And he wants you to ignore the problems in your life because he wants the problems to get bigger, because the bigger the problem, the bigger the destruction that you have to face and go through. The longer you wait, the more public the devastation becomes as well. And so you can address it right now, or you can make a difference, or you can wait until later. So today we're breaking barriers, barriers to growth, to what God is calling us to. You've got to move past the barriers that stand between where you are and where God is calling you to be. And so here we are. Today's passage, again, Joshua 7 to 9, not going to read it all to you, but it's one of the clearest pictures in Scripture of showing how disobedience creates setbacks in our life. As a story, we're going to go through here kind of section by section, but obedience opens the doors to God's promises, and I believe more than we ask or imagine. I believe that because it's in God's Word in the book of Ephesians. As God's children, he wants to give us more than we ask or imagine, not for our selfish desires and ambitions, but for the sake of his kingdom and his glory. So I encourage you to read all three of those chapters today or this week. Pick half a chapter, and for the next 6 days, you can read half a chapter and get through there. But let's start the beginning, Joshua chapter 7, and he goes through the verse 1. Israel has just experienced the miracle of Jericho. What happened? They marched around the city, and they gave a big shout of praise. And what happened? The walls fell down. God's power was unmistakably true in that moment. But then chapter 7 opens up with a sentence no leader ever wants to hear. That come out of this great victory, this great moment of seeing God move. And after this happens, we see this verse, but the Israelites were unfaithful. What a blow to Joshua. What pain that he must feel. Like, we just had this great victory. We just had this great moment of celebration. Clearly, God did it. And what do we do? What happens? We walk in a moment of disobedience and we become unfaithful. So if you read, I'm going to ruin the story for you, but as you read through the chapter, you learn about a man named Achan. Someone say Achan. We don't like him because he secretly took what belonged to the Lord that no one else knew about. But of course, God knows. When Israel went up to fight the small city of Ai on their own, no prayer, no seeking the Lord, no command from God to go. They just said, God showed up here, so we're going to go. This is our land. Notice the change in language. This is our land, not God's promised land. It's our land. So we're going to go. And when they went without seeking the Lord, they came to this battle and suffered a shocking defeat. 36 men died. The confidence they had that they were going to pursue this land that God had promised them was shattered. And Joshua drops to the ground asking, God, what happened? Have you ever found those moments in your own life? Like, God, what just happened? Like, what is going on here? Why is the world against me? So, Scripture, I'm going to throw a ton of verses at you. You don't have to write them down. They're all in your handout on the back page. But here's what happens that Scripture reminds us of. Some principles to pay attention to. God sees us, and he sees our sins. Proverbs 15:3 and Hebrews 14:4. 4:13, sorry. Scripture reminds us that God hates sin, Proverbs 6:16-19. The benefit here is that God has a plan to deal with sin, 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32:5. We also know we all love discipline, right? God disciplines sin, Galatians 6:9. We know that sin affects those around us, 1 Corinthians 12, 24-26, or you could just add Joshua chapter 7, 1-15 in there. Sin hinders God's work, Matthew 13, 58. That's probably where we want to camp out a little bit today because we're talking about breaking through the barriers that God has called us to experience the growth that he has planned for our lives. And we can't walk in the plans and promises of God if there is sin in our life that is going to hinder God's work. And so, 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, sin must be addressed. So what Achan did in private caused a national setback. You might think, I don't matter. I'm not that important. I'm new around here. If this is your church, and I'm not going to guilt trip you, but if this is your church, and there's things in your life that God wants to deal with, and you're not, it's hard for God to move the whole church forward when there's some of us, and sometimes we just have to look in the mirror and realize, oh, maybe it's me. Sometimes the pastor needs to look in the mirror and go, oh, that was my fault. We're not, that was all on me. But we're in this thing together. And so when one of us is having a challenge or a hardship or dealing with sin that we don't want to deal with, it holds the family back. Israel's message to Joshua was clear. Israel has sinned. You cannot stand against your enemies until this is dealt with. Let me say it this way. We cannot walk in God's promises while clinging to what he has told us to let go of. We cannot hold on to the future while having one foot in the past. It's a new season. It's a new day. We're moving forward. So God calls Joshua to bring the tribes forward, the clans, the families, one by one, they stand before him until the truth comes out. Now, so we're going to try this next week before we jump into our Christmas series, okay? So you're going to sit with your family, you're going to stand in front of everybody, and we're going to ask you to share the sins of you and your family in front of the whole church, okay? Anybody? And then we're going to do communion together after that. Does this sound good to everybody? And some of you are like, I'm not coming next week, Pastor Gary. It's okay. I'm not expecting you to do that. I'm not going to hand you the microphone and ask you to share everything in front of the church. But this is what God tells Joshua to do. He says, bring everybody forward. Bring the tribes. Bring all the clans forward, one by one, until the truth comes to light. Because you know what happens in darkness when light shows up? Darkness goes away. And it reveals things. When the light of the Lord comes, it reveals things. And when it reveals them, it's not to shame us. It's not to bring harm to us. But it's to bring us redemption. It's to bring us wholeness again. Because anytime there's a sin in our life, it keeps us from being who God has called us to be. It holds us back from the plans and purposes that God has prepared for us before the creation of the world to do. And so we continue to move forward. There's this painful death that happens. Joshua 7:16-26. Now, as we go through this morning, God's not ready to put you to death this morning. Okay, so we're going to just skip ahead to the good part today. And we have this cross on the wall because the price for our sin has already been paid. The wages of sin is death, but the beautiful thing is that someone took our place so we don't have to experience the pain and death portion punishment of our sin. We still experience brokenness in this world. We still experience the harm that we create from our actions, but the punishment of death is beyond us now, thanks to Jesus. So God gives Achan the opportunity to step forward before he was exposed. And then finally, when he's chosen, he gets up there and Joshua tells him, my son, give glory to God and confess. And Achan describes exactly how sin grows. He says, I saw the treasure that I wanted. He says, I saw the treasure. I wanted and I coveted the treasure. And so I took the treasure. And this is the pattern of every temptation that becomes a stronghold in our life. I see the donut that I don't want to eat because I'm trying to be healthy. I want the donut because it is so yummy and it's so round and it's just the light is on it perfectly and I want that donut. And so I took it. There's this meme going around social media. I think it's quite hilarious. This lady leaves a scathing review of this restaurant in the States about how her husband went to go pick up their mobile order. He picks up the mobile order. They get home. The one thing she wanted was gone. And so she leaves this terrible review on Google for the world to see. And then her husband confesses, "Sorry, I ate it." He says, "It looks so good, I ate it." And so she doesn't know how to delete the review. And so she says, "My something husband ate the thing, and I don't know how to delete the review. I'm sure it was very good. It was so good he had to have two." And it's quite humorous and hilarious. But this, thanks, Bella. This is how temptation works, right? I see the shiny object. I covet the shiny object, and so I take the shiny object. Achan's confession, of course, reveals another problem. He calls the stolen items spoils. It's really easy to justify our actions. You know, I say, did God really say that? It's the same lie he told to Eve in the garden, the same lie of deception. Are you sure that's what God meant when he said that? So Achan, instead of calling it what it is, he changes the term to spoils. He tries to rename the sin. But changing the name doesn't change the heart of the problem. Changing the name doesn't change what has actually happened. Now for Achan, the consequences is heartbreaking. His family, possessions, and stolen items are brought before the Valley of Anchor, which is also translated the Valley of Trouble. If you did not have... The hard part is the story didn't have to end this way, and it never does. In the middle of his sin, you know, he could have just called out publicly. This is the thing with temptation, right? If we call it out before we enter in, then instantly, one, it creates accountability, but it brings light to darkness. It also just demonstrates that we're human, right? It helps us be a little more honest. But it helps keep us from the valley of trouble. And even after we fail, Achan could have said, "Hey, this is my fault." But no, he had to wait until everyone else was brought before Joshua, and he had to get called out. He had a moment to confess, but he chose not to. See, he saw the problem, just like a home renovation. You can choose to see the problem and cover it up and pretend it's not there. Or you can deal with it right away. And he chose to cover it up and pretend it wasn't a problem until it was a problem, and then he entered the valley of trouble. But even here, in this moment of trouble and weakness, God whispers hope. If we go to the book of the Bible, Hosea chapter 2, 15 says this, that God will one day turn the valley of Anchor into a door of hope, where sin is destroyed and grace will restore, that grace will restore. Hosea promises that one day the valley of Anchor will turn into a door of hope, where sin is destroyed and grace will restore. Have you ever had these moments in your life where I see it, I think it, and I want it? You don't have to put your hand up, but if I ask you to put your hand up, I assume all of us would put our hand up. There's been moments in our life where I see it, I think it, I want it. All of us, according to Romans, have fallen short. And the price of that sin, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is death. Why? Because there must be justice. When there is something that is wrong in the world, what do we want? We want justice. Where does that come from? It comes from our being of who God is, who he created us to be in his image. God demands justice for wrongdoing. And the wages of sin is death. But the other side of that verse is, yes, the wages of sin is death, but praise the Lord, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's the coming to pass what Hosea promises of the valley becoming a door of hope. We're all tempted, and I think I think back to the times when we're tempted, and I think even back to the song we just sang this morning, When Temptation Comes My Way. A professor in Bible college shared this. He says, you know, confession is a very important part of following Jesus. Repentance is a real thing, and repentance is a very simple term, right? You guys have heard me say it a number of times, but repentance is simply turning from what you're doing to the higher things of God. It's really that simple. I'm going this direction, and now I'm going this way. This is the very just most basic form of the gospel. This is why Jesus came, so that we didn't have to go this way towards death anymore. We can turn towards the higher things of God. And he says, okay, confess your sin, absolutely. He says, but then don't go away and pray, Lord, help me not to eat the donut. Because you know what happens the moment you pray, Lord, help me not to eat the donut? What are you thinking about? The Lord, of course. You're thinking of the Lord of all the donuts. You're not thinking of just the donut. It's like, what if I had a chocolate sprinkle donut? What if I had a Boston cream donut? What if I had a chocolate-filled donut with chocolate on top? What if I had a sour cream glazed donut as well? What if I had a honey cruller? What if I had a chocolate-dipped honey cruller? What if I had a chocolate-dipped honey cruller with a bunch of little wonderful sprinkles on top? Yeah. We'd all be diabetics like Bill. But what are y'all thinking about? Lord, help us not talk about donuts. Help Pastor Gary not talk about donuts anymore at church. Is anyone else thinking about anything else except for donuts now? You just had grapes. Who cares about grapes? I want a donut now. No, we just prayed we're not going to have donuts. So instead of praying against, Lord, help me not to do this, help me not to do that, just say the simple words of the song. Lord, be with me when temptation comes my way. End of sentence. Don't say, Lord, help me not to do X, Y, Z. But just say, Lord, help me not to be tempted, period. You already know, he already knows, and you've already called it out with somebody else. And when temptation comes your way, there's moments where we're a family together. We're full of grace. God has given us grace for our shortcomings so that we can be redeemed. But he also gives us grace to show others and to lift them up. And so when you come to a point in your life and you're just saying, I am really struggling, and all I can think about, call, show up at someone's house. You have a room full of people here that will stand with you, that will give you a hug, put their arms around you, and walk with you through your moment of temptation. You can even call me. That'd be fine. But pray against temptation, because that helps us overcome the fears, that helps us overcome the shortcomings, it helps us overcome all the things that God has redeemed us from. The beautiful thing is that once the sin is dealt with among the people of Israel, God renews the mission. You find this in Joshua chapter 8, 1 to 9. After judgment, after repentance, something powerful happens. God begins to speak again. You know, it's like when you clean your house and you can see clearly, or not your house, your windows, sorry. Like, I have to clean the inside of my window of my vehicle. That's the worst. It's easy to clean the outside. You just hit the little button on the handle, right? And the wipers come and the wall, and it sprays the window, it gets clean. But what happens when the inside of the window gets clean? It's like when you're driving at night, all of a sudden you can see again. You can see clearly. When we deal with the sin in our lives and we deal with the clutter and the junk that has taken residence there, God begins to speak again. More accurately, we begin to hear his voice again. Silence lifts, guidance returns, but the presence of the Lord is back here at the center. God tells Joshua, similar words he shared with him before, Joshua, don't be afraid. Go up against AI again, not artificial intelligence. If you read the Bible, it's not artificial intelligence. It's a name of a community and a people group that God had. Anyways, you'll figure it out. He says, go up against AI again. This time, take the whole army. This time, you may keep the plunder. This time, follow my strategy. little bit opposite of what happened. What happened before? They got all excited, and in their enthusiasm and coming off this big win of Jericho, they forgot one that God did it, and so they just went for it. Now, I love enthusiasm. I love watching people just go for it. Like, just take a risk, take a chance, just jump off the deep end and go. Like, going to the pool in the summertime, and the first time the kid jumps off the diving board, it's such a great celebration. Like, mom and dad are in the pool, one's down there ready to catch, and the other's usually on the side, and the lifeguards are there, and it's like ready to jump in, and it's a great moment of celebration. But the problem was is they went without God telling them to. They went on their own, and they did it their way. And so God speaks again, and they hear clearly, do not be afraid. Go up against our enemies again. This time, go together. Don't leave anybody behind. You're all in this together. This is, you are my people together. Take the whole army. You will all go. Oh, by the way, don't be afraid. Now, here's what is going to change. Since I have redeemed you, I want you to know something, that you're loved by me, that you're mine. And so when you go and you plunder, you may keep the plunder that you receive. And he says, this time follow my strategy. This is a picture of grace I think we all need to pay attention to. Because when God brings redemption, God brings redemption. Usually that's where we'd say amen, but that's fine. I didn't quite punch it. Maybe I need to say it with a little more. When God brings redemption, God brings redemption. Amen. There we go. Perfect. Wonderful. Thanks. Makes me feel a little better. But what a beautiful picture of grace. The first battle fought in human strength. The second battle fought in obedience. God lays out a new plan, an ambush, and Joshua listens. Here's what happens when sin is removed. God renews your mission, and he refreshes your direction. Suddenly, I remember why I exist on this earth. Suddenly, I remember what my purpose and plans are here on this earth. Continually moving forward, there's victory at Ai. Joshua positions his men north and west of the city. The king of Ai confidently charges out, thinking Israel is retreating again. Aha, we've tricked the enemy. Just when the enemy thinks he's got you, God's got a bigger plan. Joshua raises his javelin toward the city, and in that moment, God's moment arrives. The hidden troops rush in, the city goes up in smoke, Israel turns around and fights, the enemy is trapped between two forces. This would be a great movie to watch. Anybody with me? This would be a great like battle movie. Next, men's breakfast, we're going to do a wing night instead, and we're going to watch the movie that we haven't produced and filmed yet. But this is going to be a great epic battle to watch. The place of their defeat becomes the place of their greatest victory. So, keep that in mind the next time you have something in your life, a temptation that you succumb to that you need to get over, because your greatest moment of defeat might just be the greatest moment in the victory you'll ever experience. Obedience turns old battlefields into new testimonies. When you once fell, you will stand again. Where you once were lost, God will bring breakthrough. It's never too late for you to return to God. It's never too late to experience victory. Finally, after this moment of victory, there's another renewal of covenant. Before marching on to the next city, Joshua stops the entire nation. So what happened after Jericho? Well, first of all, what happened before Jericho? The first battle or challenge, the breakthrough that they had to experience, the first barrier they had to get across was the Jordan River. And God gave them very clear instructions. When you go across the river, well, first of all, he says, just trust me, put your feet in the water, and then the waters will stop flowing, and then you can cross, which is what happened. When you get across, go and take a number of stones and build an altar at that spot so you will never forget to remember. And so that's what they do. They move forward. Jericho is trembling because they see this God of the Israelites is crazy powerful, can stop the river. And so they fortify their wall, their city, and they live in fear. God gives them the city, and they celebrate, and they move forward in victory with great enthusiasm, and they fail. And so this time Joshua says, we're doing things different. We're doing something different this time. Actually, we're not doing anything different. We're going back to do what we should have done in the first place. He builds an altar. He writes the law on the stones, and he reads the blessings and the curses. Every man, woman, child, and foreigner among them listens. You can find this Joshua 8, 30 to 35. Why does this matter? Because victory means nothing if you forget the God who gave it to you. Our victory of overcoming our past doesn't matter if we forget who the victor truly is. Spiritual success is not measured by what we conquered, it's measured by who we obey. It's not measured by what we overcome, it's measured by who we obey. And so Joshua reminds the people, and I share with you today, breakthrough starts with a heart that is aligned to God. If you found that God's giving you a word, a promise, a dream, let's go with the word dream for a moment. Because we can all have dreams of what we'd love to see for our lives and for our families. What are some of the barriers and the things that exist, and why do they exist? What do we need to do to align our heart to God to allow us to walk into the dream that He's given to us? Now, some of us have dreams, and they come from our own selfish ambition, so I'm talking about the God-given dream today. Obedience is not a restriction to God's dream or promises. It's the doorway to the life that God has promised. Sometimes obedience seems really difficult because we want to do the things that we've always done. That's what's easy. There's nothing worse than getting into a planning meeting, and I hear it all the time. Well, how did we do it last time? How did we do it last year? Or we always do it this way, and then you wonder why the event or the experience is always the same. Like, why does it always look this way? Because you do it the way that you've always done it. Now, I'm going to get too far off line here. It's good to have patterns and routines in your life. It's good to establish a good rhythm. Don't get me wrong on that. But if you're not getting to where you're supposed to be, you better take a look at the patterns and the rhythms in your life and say, God, help me walk in obedience. Because obedience is not a restriction. It's the doorway to the life that God has promised. So here's kind of our summary today, in case you missed it. Sin in the camp brings defeat. His private rebellion of Achan becomes a national barrier. Confronting sin restores God's promises and His presence. When truth is brought to light, God begins to speak again. Obedience leads to victory. God's strategy is always better than our confidence. If our confidence doesn't come from Him, then we better take a close look in the mirror and wonder what it is we're doing and what it is we're all about. And finally, this covenant renewal keeps us grounded. Every time we come back to Jesus, we're reminded about who we are and why we are. Breakthrough is sustained by staying centered on His word and centered on the promises of God. Because our victory should be His victory. It's why we celebrate and worship and praise. It's why we come to church and we sing these songs. I'm going to see a victory because our God is already victorious. He's already defeated death. He's already won the battles. And any of the battles that we face, He's already seen before. And there's no giant too big, no wall that's too tall, no river too wide. This sounds like a song. Has anyone else got a song in their head now? I can hear some people whispering the song. It's great. Joshua 9:14 says this. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not seek the Lord's decision. Happens again. They go through this great tragedy, and they get this verse, and you just have to imagine the defeat that Joshua feels. The men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's decision. They did not seek the Lord, and it caused problems. I believe if we want to see breakthrough, if we want to see doors open, we want to see new people come to faith in Jesus, we want to see more kids come to faith in Jesus, we want to walk in the promises of God, then we can't afford to leave Jesus out of the decision-making process either. There's another song. It'll come to me later, but the bridge is, I sought the Lord, He heard, and He answered. Trust in God. There it is. Thanks. We sang it last week. I should have known better. But I sought the Lord. He heard and He answered. And we repeat that bridge over and over again. And sometimes we repeat the choruses just so it sticks with us. So when we leave church, we're leaving singing a song of promise and a nugget of truth. In everything we do, I sought the Lord and he heard. I sought the Lord and he heard. When we don't seek, it causes problems. Matthew's gospel, I think, wraps this series, this message up quite nicely. In fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 6, and this is what he says. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. We could probably preach a whole series on that. I think I have before. It's been a while. You've probably heard this verse before. But if you want to get your priorities straight, you want to experience the breakthroughs and to break through the barriers that exist in our life for God to see you move in your family, in your relationships, in your workplace, at church, in our community, then the most important thing we can focus on is not ourselves, not our situation, not our crisis, but focus on God and his kingdom. If we keep Jesus at the forefront, his plan, his purpose, his present, we can almost just sit back and watch what he does. There's breakthrough that happens in your prayers, breakthrough in our attitude, breakthrough with your spouse, breakthrough with your kids, breakthrough in everything. Noah, this is in your notes, it sounds kind of silly, but you'll remember it if I say it. No barrier is too big, no step of obedience too small. You can put that on your fridge or text it to yourself or text it to somebody else if you want to. You can even pull out your phone and do it right now. No barrier is too big. No step of obedience is too small. God is faithful. God is ready. God is leading you from barriers to breakthrough as you walk with him in obedience. This morning, maybe Elizabeth, you'd lead us in that song again today, or if you have another song that you've, I see you have your phone open, so you might have something else. My notes weren't good enough, so she's writing her own notes down, which is good. But as we walk in obedience, I just fully believe that God's going to unlock and reveal some things, and we're actually going to see God do something amazing. And so as you're going to play Lord, I Need You, is that it? That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, that one, Lord, I Need You. That's why I said it out loud. The words of this song, I would just say, I mean, confession is a very heart moment between you and God. And so I would just say in the next couple of minutes as she leads this song, literally the words say, Lord, I come, I confess. If there's something in your life, you just say, God, I need to surrender this to you. Then surrender it to him. Name it, say it out loud between you and God. Say, I need to give you X. It doesn't have to be the biggest thing in the world, but maybe it is. Or maybe it's just that small little, it's like when you get the splinter in your hand and you don't deal with it and then it gets infected. Maybe it's just a splinter right now. You say, God, there's a splinter in my life. I just need you to deal with that. I need to confess that.